Hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Michelle. I'm married to Henry, and we have three girls, Sophie, who's 11, Emily, who's 8, and Eva, who's 6. And we've been coming to Capital Vineyard for about 11 years, quite a while. Today, I'm going to be speaking on how to develop community in our homes and neighbourhood. And to tie in with previous talks, how to be a light in the place that we live. So I have a PowerPoint here, which is pretty exciting. There we go. Developing community in our home and neighbourhood. So the aim of my talk is to encourage, but also to challenge. I'm going to give quite a few practical suggestions. Probably wouldn't be described as a theologian, but I do have 40 plus years of life experience. Awesome. So I'm going to speak from that using the Bible, stories, different quotes. I have a thing about inspiring quotes, so you'll see a few of those. And some examples from my life where I took opportunities and some where I missed them as well. So let's start off with the question, why is community important and why do we need it? So I looked up the dictionary, which is always a good start. So part of the dictionary definition of community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. So the three obvious communities that most of us are involved with are obviously our home or neighbourhood, our workplace, which Andrew Butel spoke on last week, and our church. So today I'm going to concentrate on the first one, where we live. In the book of James, in the Message translation, community is actually described as the hard work of getting along. So James 3, 17 to 18 says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. So our lives can have influence, and it starts with influence in our family and our community. How we live as individuals affects not just us, but the world around us. I go running early in the morning, and it's quite dark when I go, and I wear this head torch, and I look pretty cool wearing a head torch. Unfortunately, it's a tiny head torch, and the light is very dim. I'm not even going to turn it on because it's really hard to turn on, but it's really not that satisfactory, so that one day I probably will trip over a recycling bin. But in the meantime, I've got to use it. But ultimately, I need a new head torch. I need a stronger head torch so that I can see my way a bit better. And I don't always feel like a shining light. Like, I feel more like this light sometimes than I would with a strong head torch. As I'm driving down Nyah Gorge Road sometimes, often with the kids in the back, and I've got someone who is right on my tail in the car, I've got all sorts of angry thoughts going around my head at that point. And, you know, I'm not an example of a shining light for Jesus at that point. But the good thing about that is that we don't have to rely on our own strength. We can rely on God's strength. Ephesians 4, 23-24 in the New Living Translation says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Isn't that encouraging? So I've come up with 6 ways to develop community where we live. And this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch, but it's just some thoughts that I feel that God has drawn my attention to. And it's not really in any particular order. They're not really in any particular order either. And they're pretty obvious, but sometimes I just think it's good to be reminded of these things. be kind and compassionate. I like this quote, be kind, for everyone you meet is facing a battle you know nothing about. So as Christians, we want to be known for our kindness and our grace. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So Jesus was incredibly compassionate. There's a story in Luke when he meets with a widow whose only son has just died. Luke 7:13 says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. So the fact that Jesus' heart went out to this woman and her tears moved him, and that should be the same for us. One of my neighbours a while ago, was going through a really tough time. Her marriage was falling apart. Her husband had been unfaithful. She had three kids. And I'd heard this was happening, but didn't really know how to respond. It's a little bit one of those sensitive things. You're not quite sure how to respond. And we'd had them over for afternoon tea when they first moved in. We've had a few neighbours in this particular house, and had them over, but I didn't really know her very well. She would probably kind of kept to herself a bit. And I was hanging out my washing one day at the back of my house and heard the back door open of the neighbour and heard her come out, and I heard her crying. And now there's crying and there's crying, but this crying was sobbing. Like it was absolutely heart-wrenching sobs. And so I heard this, and I thought, our house is a lot lower than our neighbours, so I couldn't exactly sort of poke my head over the fence and say, how are you, because they're sort of way up here. So it was a bit tricky to do anything at that point, but I still should have done something, if not at that moment, at another time. But I made lots of excuses. Oh, her husband and kids are home, I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to make a scene. I don't know her very well. But they were all excuses, because, you know, the family moved away not long after that, and I actually just missed an opportunity simply to be kind. That's all it would have, you know, just, she might have not even responded. I don't know how she would have responded if I'd said something, but at least I would have, you know, tried to be kind. I like the quote from Mother Teresa, never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you. Be hospitable. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality without grumbling. Romans 12:13, practice hospitality. In this day and age of home and garden magazines, Pinterest, MasterChef, you know, it's easy to believe that our homes have to be, we have to have a beautiful home, we have to have top-notch cuisine skills in order to entertain and be hospitable. I read an article the other day called In Praise of Scruffy Hospitality. And this is a term thought up by the Reverend Jack King, and here's the definition of it. Scruffy hospitality means you're not waiting for everything in your house to be in order before you host and serve friends in your home. Scruffy hospitality means you hunger more for good conversation and serving a simple meal of what you have, not what you don't have. Scruffy hospitality means you're more interested in quality conversation than the impression your home or lawn makes. If we only share meals with friends when we're excellent, we aren't truly sharing life together. So some of you might be chuckling to yourselves at this point, because if you know me at all, you will know that I am a person who does spend time keeping my house tidy, and I actually can't properly relax until there is some kind of order. But do you know what? I think that's okay to be like that too. I hope it's okay. You can still have authentic conversations in tidy houses. Probably because being neat and tidy is authentic for that person. Authenticity invites authenticity. But for those whose home, if you're sitting there and you're thinking that your home is not naturally sort of company ready, embrace this idea of scruffy hospitality. Let's value community over tidiness. I know of some friends who invite their neighbours over for dinner once a term. It's just this thing that they do, the same neighbours, and it's relaxed, it's always an easy meal, and it's just developing community. When Henry and I were living in London, before kids, we met Nick and Rose there, and all four of us were working. We were working busy lives, busy jobs. We had, but this was a friendship that Henry and I were keen to develop when we met them and thought they'd be people that we'd like to get to know. So once a week, we splashed out and bought Sainsbury's pizza, like as in from the supermarket, with a ready-made bag of lettuce leaves, maybe some cherry tomatoes if we were really generous. And we'd have dinner together at our flat before going to our Connect group that we went to. So there was absolutely nothing fancy about the meal at all, but in a way that made it better. We need to show people who we are so that as they get to know us, they know where we're coming from and what we stand for. Be vulnerable. In the Bible story of Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus dies and Jesus comes to visit them. And they were able to express disappointment, trust, and vulnerability to him. John 11:17, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's quite an honest thing to say to Jesus. Be willing to say how you're actually doing. When someone says that they're actually not fine, it's like a gift because it's the gift of going first. It opens the door to them sharing more of themselves. I think it's dangerous to appear like we've got it all together. Why? Because it makes us unapproachable. People can't relate. There's a connection that happens when we're vulnerable with each other. So we need to form friendships where we are open with each other and honest. I'm reading this great book called Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist. I think that's how you say her name. And I want to read a little bit. The foreword of this book is written by someone called Brené Brown, who I love. And she describes the time that she invited the author, Shauna, over to her house for dinner. So I'll just pick it up. Of course, once the day arrived, my inspiration morphed into dread. My house was a disaster. I was 2 weeks late on a writing deadline, and I looked as tired and burnt out as I felt. What really sounded good was an evening of numbing out in front of the television with chips and dip, alone. In the middle of my should I cancel or not dance, I remembered this quote from St. Benedict, let all guests who arrive be received like Christ. Would I cancel on Jesus to hide out from my life with snack food and Law and Order reruns? Honestly, I hope not. But there are days when I'm not so sure. And don't worry, God is totally clear about this struggle. We discuss it on a regular basis. On this particular day, I decided to welcome Shauna in the most holy way I knew, with love and total honesty. I heated up some turkey chili, sounds interesting, threw on some comfy pants and opened the front door. We hugged for a minute, then she looked me straight in the eye and asked, how are you? I could tell she really wanted to know. I got teary-eyed and said, I'm tired, confused, a little lonely, but holding on. Shauna smiled as her eyes welled up. Me too, pal. Me too. It's so hard sometimes. Our night together that night was sacred for a simple reason. We chose to be present over pretending to be perfect. Second Corinthians 12:9. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Think of those friendships where they've seen your house in all states, they've cleaned your bathroom, they've folded your underwear. I was slightly mortified when I was at the washing line one day, another washing line story, and a friend unexpectedly came round and she must have knocked on the front door and I wasn't there, so she came round to the back and I was hanging out my washing and she saw the state of my husband's underwear as I hung it up. Henry holds on to his underwear for far too long. But, you know, isn't that what real friendship is about? Not necessarily looking at your friend's spouse's underwear, but it's about being real with each other. In the women's group, Connect group, that meets at my house every fortnight, I can without question say that the best nights we've had as a group are those where people are vulnerable. When we tell it like it is, when we're honest with each other. And it might not be pretty. It might involve tears, heartache, a box of tissues. But it always involves prayer as well. And that's when, as a group, when we connect with each other. Brené Brown, this is a quote from her, vulnerability is the birthplace of connection and the path to the feeling of worthiness. Be intentional. My husband has a thing about internal car garaging. I don't think he'll hold it against you if you do have an internal garage, but he's just not a huge fan. And you might think that's a really silly thing to not like, especially on a miserable, windy, rainy Wellington day when you've got to lug all your groceries up from the car up to the house. Well, the reason for this is that having a garage on the street where there is a bit of a hike to your house means you have more of an opportunity to meet your neighbours. If I tried to recall all the times that I'd either be going down to the car or getting out of the car and going back up to the house and meet a neighbour, I would lose count. It happens all of the time, or even someone walking along the street. We need to look for opportunities. Get to know your neighbours. All it takes is a smile and saying, hi, been meaning to introduce myself. When a new neighbour moves in, take some biscuits around. In the summer, hang out on your front porch or your front lawn. Not too long after moving into a new neighbourhood, my brother-in-law, Richard, who lives in Christchurch, he loves chatting, he loves getting to know people. He made a conscious decision. They had a trampoline, they had a massive lawn at the back. He made a conscious decision to put his trampoline on the front lawn, largely so that when he was sitting on that tramp with his three girls, or two girls at that point, bouncing around him, he would get into conversation with people passing by. And it worked. There was a mum from our local school who I got into conversation with outside the school gate one day. She was a solo mum. She was in the process of thinking about the future, wondering whether she should move away from Wellington. She'd put an offer in on a house up north. She just wanted some peace about what she was doing. Now, for me as a Christian, if I was in that situation, I'd pray about it. But for people who maybe are not, they haven't got that point of reference. So I was pretty nervous, but I eventually, in the conversation, said to her, would you be interested in me praying for you about this? And so we arranged, and she was open. She was open to that. So we arranged to meet. She came round to my place a couple of days later. And it was great. It was very low-key, very low-key, just sitting there, and I prayed for her future plans. And when we finished, she said, oh, I felt this funny tingling sensation all over my body, you know. And I said, "Oh, that would have been the Holy Spirit." It was so easy, really. Once we got into it, it was an easy thing to do. This is a cool quote as well. Help the life of one person and you can help the community. Okay, be social. At the beginning of John 2, there's a story of Jesus turning water into wine. You might find it surprising that not only were Jesus and his disciples invited to parties, they actually went. They actually accepted. And at that time, wedding feasts lasted about a week. They were heaps of fun. People put on their best clothes. They sang, they danced, they joked, they laughed. And Jesus turned water into wine in this story. He transformed over 120 gallons of bath water into the very best wine. He does things abundantly. So Jesus valued weddings because they involved people. And Jesus came to be with people. So as Christians, we need to know how to have fun. This concept of social occasions being part of our mission. Going to neighbourhood things. You know, in New Zealand we have an annual Neighbours Day in March normally. Being very intentional about going to these. Our street has an annual get-together around about the same time as Neighbours Day. And do you know what? When it comes around, I can think of so many other things I would rather be doing. I don't feel like going. I don't feel like going. But I make myself go. And, I think we've got to look at it in a different way. Don't think, what can I get from this? But what can I bring to this? What can I bring to this event or these people that I'm talking to? I've had some pretty hard conversations and those things in terms of it's not always easy, you know. It's not, and sometimes I'm thinking I need to get out of this conversation because it's, you know, it's really hard. It's not sort of going anywhere or whatever it is. But I've just got to change my perception. When you go to those things, you're actually indicating to your neighbours that I'm interested in getting to know you. You know, there are people that never ever go to those. We've been in our street for 11 years and there are the same people that go and there are people that never go. And so you can't help but think, gosh, do they not want to get to know us? You know, they've got busy lives. Obviously, they've got other friends. They don't need to get to know people who live near them. I don't know. So I think it's really important as Christians that we are the people that are there. Socialise with people from your kids' school and attend things, be present. I love what Kirk said during the panel discussion a few weeks ago about the proximity effect. He said, light isn't seen in the light, it's only seen in the darkness. We need to go to these places. And light completely changes changes the environment in which it's placed. Completely. You think of a dark room, turn a light on. So we need to engage with the world, but yet be set apart. Move into spaces where Christ isn't. John 17, 15 to 18. This was Jesus praying for his disciples. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your work is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. John Stott has a classic quote. Of course, it's good to come to church, as long as you don't do it too often. And when you think about that, he's simply saying that, he goes on to say that from Monday to Saturday, we should be out in the real world. So it's the idea of being socially integrated rather than socially segregated. Okay. Number 6, be the point of difference. So as Christians, we need to be radically different from those who aren't. And if we think of the world as dark and we're the light, we're total opposites. We need to penetrate the darkness, not stay hidden in a corner. Matthew 5, 14 to 16, this is from the Message again. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. Isn't that cool? God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. I have a lovely friend who has three children at a primary school, and the school went through some changes with a new principal, and there was a lot of discontentment among the parents. So my friend got together with another Christian mum from the same school and decided to make a commitment to bake morning tea for the staff every few weeks. Why did she do that? Because instead of reverting to what most other people were doing, which was basically grizzling at the school gate about the new principal, they were the point of difference. And they wanted to encourage and show support for the staff in what was probably a pretty rough time. Isn't that awesome? It's just a really simple thing, but it's been the point of difference. It's about speaking well of people. We need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in the way that we speak, in the way that we act. Proverbs 11:27, anyone can find the dirt in someone, be the one who finds the gold. You'll never influence the world by trying to be like it. We'll never do that. But ultimately, the main point of difference about us is that we carry God's presence. We bring God's presence into every place we go. Home, school, university, work, everywhere. So those are my six suggestions for developing community. And I just want to encourage you as well that we carry his hope. One of my good friends was going through a marriage breakup, and I caught up with her at the beginning of the year while we were on holiday. So she's not a Christian, but I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to text a verse after when we got home. And this verse was from Romans 5, 3 to 4. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I was a bit nervous sending that. I thought it might sound a bit trite. But it was amazing when she sent me a text back by telling me how much she appreciated that, and that the word hope was now going to be her word for 2017. Isn't that what our community needs? Hope. Especially all the stuff that's been happening. We need hope. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. As people who follow Jesus, if we can't be neighbours and human beings who are kind, compassionate, who take time to listen, who offer hope, then who are we? How can we expect people to want to follow Jesus if we don't show his character? The need for this hope was beautifully portrayed on a more global scale recently. You know, 2017 has seen so many acts of violence and bloodshed worldwide. Whether it's a busload of Christians being killed by militants in Egypt, or a suicide bomber walking into the middle of a group of young kids having fun at a concert. So a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks after the suicide bomber killed 22 of her fans and injured 160 more at her concert, in less than 24 hours after the London Bridge terrorist attack, a 23-year-old American pop star called Ariana Grande, I think that's how you say her name, organised a benefit concert along with other singers and musicians called One Love Manchester. So the purpose of the concert was to raise money for those affected by the attack. But more than that, it was to show solidarity. And as one of the pop stars on the stage said, fighting evil with love. I'm going to show you a small, very small clip from the concert. What I find amazing about this is firstly the number of people that turned up. 50,000 people attended, despite the obvious risk. You know, there was risk associated with that, but they turned up. The concert raised £10 million for victims and their families. But the thing that struck me the most was the solidarity in the face of tragedy. It was like the coming together of strangers, neighbours. It was the hope that was expressed in this common theme of love.
In the USA, hey, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only got love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. What you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love if you set it straight. Here we go. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love.
People killing, people dying, children hurting, you hear them crying. But you practice what you preach, but you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
So I recognise that that song is not a is not from a God perspective necessarily, but I still think we can learn from it. I found the words of the song quite interesting, especially the chorus. People killing, people dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, or would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above, because people got me questioning, where is the love? And I'm just going to presume, maybe naively, that the Father, Father, Father that they're talking about is our Heavenly Father. And we need to cry out to him to help us, to guide us, to show us how to love each other. Sometimes New Zealand can seem a long way away from the terrible things going on in other parts of the world. But we can still have influence where we are and the way we relate to our neighbours, those on our street, those we walk past to the bus stop, at the school gate. Community is not an ideal, it is people. It is you and I. In community, we are called to love people just as they are, with their wounds and their gifts, not as we want them to be. So I want to close by encouraging you with a couple of verses. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In the New Living Translation, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I'd love to encourage you this week to reach out to someone in your community. Be the point of difference, and I know lots of you are doing that already. Give hope and show kindness and compassion, and then come back and tell us how it went. It's so cool to hear each other's testimonies and stories, and it's important to encourage each other, isn't it? That's it. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll finish up. Okay, let's pray. Father, give us a passion to develop community where we live. Give us opportunities to share your hope and your love. Help us to be bold and creative in the way that we live for you. We want to learn to care for our neighbours. Teach us how to do this, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen.